And thank you, Tony, for the prayer. And if you've been keeping up with us and been attending these studies on Sunday morning, today's study will be the period of probational study, study number 40 in our series that we call God's Eternal Purpose. And today's date is October 16, 2016. And as I've said every time before we begin our study purpose, I believe studies should have a purpose behind them, that there should be a purpose and a goal to what's going on in looking at God's Word. And our study purpose for this one is to form a list of coming events in Scripture with group participation, so that we as members of His body can better understand God's eternal purpose and, more importantly, where we fit in God's eternal purpose. You can understand God's eternal purpose, but it doesn't get on a personal level until you as the believer realize where you are in that purpose and what God's really doing with respect to you individually. That's when the difference is made. And so many people today kind of struggle through their what little understanding they have of Scripture without really knowing what God's eternal purpose is for them or what God's got in plan for them as far as their hope or any of these details. And I believe that robs people, not of their salvation, but of the joy of their salvation. They know the Lord, but they never really had that relationship with the Holy Spirit that gets them on a personal level with God, with what God's doing in their lives. So that's the point of this study. So you not only understand more of what God's purpose is, but to understand where you fit in it. Now, we're continuing in our ongoing study of Appendix 198 in the back of the Companion Bible. It's on page 218 in the CB appendices, and it's entitled The Eternal Purpose, strangely enough. It goes right along with what we've been saying. We stopped last Tuesday night. I took my Tuesday night Pal Talk session and continued on with last Sunday's study that we began in Section G. So that's where we are. Today, we stopped last Tuesday night in our study of Appendix 98 with italicized item G in Appendix 198, which is called the Second Advent. Now, anybody that knows anything about Scripture at all knows that the Second Advent is the event that is yet to come. It is the coming back to earth of the Lord from heaven. This item in the outline of Appendix 198 covers the return, the second coming, or the parousia, the personal presence of, the unveiling of, the apocalypsis of the Lord Christ Jesus back to the earth, which occurs after, now, and note this, that occurs after the manifestation of the body of Christ in the heavenly places. Once Christ is completed, we move on, God moves on to the next step in His eternal purpose, and it goes by steps. God deals with mankind in dispensations and in administrations. And once the body is completed, once Christ is completed, you have a head and a body. Then all the other events that you see in Scripture will begin to happen. Since the Scriptures speak of many events that will take place prior to the coming, at least some time should be spent, I think, noting these prophecies from the Old Testament and from the Lord Himself. So moving on to the Second Advent, that's where we are in looking at God's eternal purpose, the Second Advent. For our last study, like I said, last Tuesday night on Pal Talk, we reviewed Matthew 24 and compared the prophecy there from the mouth of the Lord Himself with the accounts mentioned also in Luke 21 and in Mark 13. We noted that the Luke account takes place inside the temple, while the other two occur after the Lord and the disciples had left the temple. And if you want to get into a pretty good detailed investigation into a good comparison between the three accounts of this single prophecy, check out Appendix 155. In the back of the Companion Bible. It does an excellent job of laying them out, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and going through each individual instance of what the Lord says and how they're similar and also how they're different. It tries the things that differ is what I like about appendix, the study that the author did on it in appendix 155. Now, it's noteworthy, and I'll probably bring this up every time we get to this point. It's noteworthy to mention that these prophetic events that take place in the future with the nation of Israel, concerning the nation of Israel, all about the nation of Israel, are not mentioned in John's gospel. Why is that? Because John's gospel is different in its presentation, and it's different with its target audience being to the rest of mankind. Not John's gospel is not necessarily centered in the hope of Israel, because it's not presented to Israel. It's presented, as many places in John, there's all this extraneous detail about a Jewish feast, or extraneous detail about what this is to the Jews, or that is to the Jews. Information that a Jew does not need. So, the big point I want to make is we see these things mentioned, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We don't see them mentioned in John. There's no Matthew 24 style account mentioned in the Gospel of John, which I think is very significant. For today's study, we'll be continuing with the prophecy of the Lord in Matthew 24. So turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew 24, and let's reread a couple of verses. Now, I know we did some of this. I keep rolling back so that I can pick you up and kind of bring you up to where I need you to be. And it's, regrettably, it's necessary that we do that. I think it's hard to burn this stuff in to where we really remember it, at a level that we need to. So turn with me to Matthew 24. I want to read the Lord's discourse to the disciples in verses 4 through 14 again. And Jesus answered, I'm in Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Remember, there was a three-part question asked here by four of the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And they asked him specifically. They heard him talking in the temple. And then when they came out, these four wanted additional, my belief is, these four wanted more information from the Lord. They wanted let's talk about that a little bit more, Lord. You said this, and we need more information. So they basically ask him a three-part question that's recorded in verse 3. His answer follows in verses 4 through 14. Actually, it follows through many more verses, but the verses that we've already read go all the way down through 14. He answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The first warning is don't be fooled by anybody. Because guess what? They're going to come. There's going to be many that come that try to fool you and deceive you. Don't listen to them. For many shall come in my name, he says. And the warning also is that you won't be deceived by those that come saying they're me. Many will come in my name, he says, saying I am Christ. And they, guess what, are going to deceive many. And you'll hear of wars, verse 6, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Don't let these things trouble you. For all these things, why, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What I love about Matthew 24 is that it is very chronologically arranged. It is blow by blow. It is the Lord telling them, here's what's going to happen, this is going to happen before this, and then this happens, just like we get in the book of Acts. That's what I like about Matthew 24. Verse 7, for nation, he goes on. After he says you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, well, guess what? In 7, nation rises against nation. So I guess the rumors come true, right? Looks like it does. Because after you get the rumors of wars, what do you got? You got nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That sounds like war to me. Whether it be Cold War, whether it be real war, sounds like war. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or in many places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, let's read on down through 14 and we're going to roll back. Then shall, verse 9, they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. That's quoted from Isaiah 8:15, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, that's a big surprise, the love of many does what? It goes cold. The iniquity brings about cold hearts, no love between the inhabitants of the earth. But he that shall endure unto the end, the teleos, the same shall be saved or delivered. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the cosmos for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now we stopped there just short of verse 15, Tuesday night and last Sunday as well. But I want to go back and hit on a couple of things in this before we move forward this morning, because there's so much here that it's going to take. We got to go and we got to plow this row a bunch of times to get all the rocks out of it. That's what we used to do whenever you're plowing a garden. You got to get all the rocks out of it. Well, you know, I've been working this place out back here for about 8 or 9 years, and I still get rocks out of it. And this is what we got to do. Not that the rocks are bad, but there's details here we got to see. So, now I want you to note that the beginning, roll back to verse 8. Where it says, all these, talking about the nations and being against nation and the famines and the pestilences, all these things, it calls these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the beginning of sorrows here in the Greek is the Greek form arche for beginning. And that means the commencement or the first in order or the first in rank. So the first thing that's going to happen, the Lord says, these things that I've just mentioned are first in rank, the first of the sorrows, the Greek Odin, O-D-I-N. And it means a pang or a throw. How many of you had pangs and throws? Candy, do you have any pangs or throws? I do. When you get up out of the bed, you ever said, well, we say pain. We say aches and pains, but the scripture calls them pangs or throes, especially dealing with childbirth. And though you ladies, you know, you guys can't relate unless you've had a kidney stone, but now you ladies that are listening, if you've ever, when you have a child, if you have it, whether naturally or whatever, you get those contractions. And I've seen personally that contractions aren't very fun. I remember when Stephanie was delivering Carly, and we were in the room, and the Demerol was a wonderful thing. It really, when they gave her the epidural. It was Stephanie says the epidural is the bomb, because it takes away those pangs. But now the scripture says these are the beginnings of the birth pains, if you lay it out in the Greek. So what the Lord is literally saying here is these are the beginnings of the beginning of the event. If that makes sense. The beginnings of the beginnings is literally what we're talking about here. These famines, earthquakes, pestilences, all the things that we would say, wow, that's pretty big deal. Well, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, well, these are just the beginnings of the beginnings of the birth pains. So, if you go back and you look at these things that were mentioned, they're listed as follows. I'm going to summarize them. Many come about claiming to be Christ. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Now, this is kind of the hit list of what's going on here of the beginnings of the beginnings. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be the literal wars that the rumors were about, probably. And you're going to have famines, infestations and diseases is what pestilence means. Infestations and diseases. Earthquakes all over the place. Kind of sounds like the news today, if you get right down to it. Hurricane wiped out 800 people in Haiti. Before that, it was an earthquake a few years ago that wiped out thousands of people in Haiti. I wouldn't be selling everything I've got to move to Haiti right now, were I anybody. Just as a thing of note here. But all these things, remember, what are they? Beginnings of the beginnings according to the scripture. Now, verse 9 gets a little further. You see the then in verse 9? You see what I mean about Matthew 24 and the way it's laid out? That the Lord is giving them a blow by blow. This happens, then this happens, then this happens. The way that he's laying it out. And there's a structure to all this that's listed in the Companion Bible. Now, Ronnie's not going to go through all the structure. Not doing your studying for you, like I said earlier. Everybody's got to dig this stuff out and check it for yourself. But then it says in verse 9, then, or following what's going on, then shall they, who are they? Somebody is going to deliver you up to be afflicted. There's going to be some affliction to the people after that fact. And guess what? They're going to kill you. They shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then verse 10 says, note the progression here. The attack against believers is listed in the verses 9 through 14. Why is that? Why do you think there's going to be an attack on believers? Just curious. It was that way in Daniel's day, remember? History does seem to over and over and over again repeat itself, doesn't it? Then it says in verse, then they're going to deliver you up and be afflicted, verse 9, and then, here we go again, another then. The Lord is giving them, I mean, you can agree or disagree, but it looks to me like they're getting a blow by blow of what's going to happen. And then shall many be offended. And you can go back and read the details concerning that in Isaiah 8:15. This is a quote from Isaiah 8:15. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So, even, I think, among the ranks of the ones that are being offended here, they kind of turn on each other, it looks like. And he says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The iniquity of the world is going to make the love harder and harder and harder to come by. And boy, do we, you know, I hate to draw the parallels, but boy, I see that today. Today is all about fear, intimidation. Let me tell you what you need to do. Why don't you be my servant? Why don't you join us? And the ISIS thing and all these things that are happening in the world around us. I think iniquity is truly abounding today. It's not as bad as it's going to get, but I think we're in the beginnings of the beginnings for sure. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, but he that endures, here's the always message. You got to stick to your guns till the end. You got to endure until the teleos. The same will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. You see, there's another then. The Lord's making all the thens pretty apparent in all this. Now look at verse 15. And I'm running out of time. Here is a big road sign in the road from the Lord, in case you haven't noticed. When. You see the word when? When you see this, when this becomes apparent, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. He said, if you're reading, I hope you've got understanding. If you're reading what I'm saying, I hope you've got understanding about what I'm saying. You see, he even calls out the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, God spoke in times past by the prophets, as Paul made it very clear in Hebrews. He said, but in these latter times, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Well, the words of the prophets have no less meaning than what the words of the Son had. Because Paul specifically says in Hebrews that God spoke to us not only by the prophets, but in these latter times he's spoken unto us directly by his Son. Both of these always being relative to the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, when it was relating what the Lord himself was saying right out of his mouth to his own people. Because why? He came to his own, and his own, they received him not.
Crucify him.
Yep, crucify him. We don't want to hear what he's got to say. So, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. When you see this point, then there are new instructions for how to be and what to do. Well, there's no way we can move out of this without going to Daniel chapter 12. So turn with me, if you would, over to Daniel, the 12th chapter. And like I said, I am not giving you all the details here. I'm just wanting to whet your appetite a little bit. Because the more you dig into this, the deeper it's going to get. And there's a lot to understand here. And I will reiterate, this has absolutely nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. At the point we're reading about here in God's prophetic time clock, our deal is done with God. We may have something to do with what the Lord is going to mete out on the earth. I don't know. The scripture isn't very specific about that. Probably things that, you know, Paul didn't think we needed to know about it. Not sure even if Paul had it revealed to him. Paul had the event revealed to him, and the mechanism of the event, the manifestation of the members of the body of Christ as Christ's body in the heavenly places. But now past that, there is very little scripture that deals with what our role is after that fact. Very little scripture. There's not much scripture, the seven books of Paul, and I believe we calculated this up one time to be just a little over 3% of the entire scripture if you use verses as a unit of measure. Only 3% of scripture tells us what our hope is. And even within that, there's precious few verses that even mention anything about what our role will be in the heavenly places. But I do know that there is a lot that Christ is going to accomplish that God meets out according to his prophecy in the latter times with regard to Israel. So whether we are connected with what Christ does then, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out. And I will readily admit that. I just don't know. But doesn't it make it fun to dig for? If you want to know. So what we're going over here, just so you know, is not for us today. We are already manifested, seated in the heavenlies as part of the body of Christ. And that's as far as scripture, in my knowledge, carries us to that end. But let's see what else does happen. The abomination of desolation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, now listen carefully to what I'm going to say here. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Thy people is Daniel's people. This is an angel revealing to Daniel what is going to take place next, or what is going to take place at this time. And Michael, everybody knows who Michael the archangel is, right? Michael is the one that stands for Israel. Michael is the archangel of Israel. He'll stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Bob and I were talking about this morning a little bit. I have to believe that had this already taken place, as the preterists say had, that there would have been something mentioned about it in the history of mankind. We are not talking about a single little earthquake like what happened to Haiti. We're not talking about a typhoon like what happened in the Far East a few weeks ago. We're not talking about a small event here that that the world remembers for a week or two and then forgets. We're talking about an event here that the scripture says be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Well, God formed the nations of the earth were formed way back in the beginning, the first few hundred years of creation. So we're talking about an epic making event here, such as like has never seen since that point. I have to believe that somebody would remember this, that it would have been written down somewhere, that at least secular history would have mentioned it. But I come up short looking for it. I don't believe that it happened silently. I don't believe this is a metaphoric expression for something else. I believe that when this event takes place, that it truly will be exactly what the Scripture calls it. That it'll be something that happens since there hasn't been anything like it from the very beginning, since there weren't even nations. Since there was a nation even to that same time, and at thy time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written where? In the book. Huh. All the people that are written in the book are going to be delivered. Sounds like maybe the overcomers. Just a thought. And many of them, look at this. Many of them that sleep where? In the dust. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, what are they going to do? They're going to stand up. They shall awake. A dead man will be made awake. Now, there is a perfect description, Ronnie believes, you can agree or disagree, of this entire event of the nation of Israel standing up as a nation in Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. There's something about those bones. That's why Joseph wanted his hauled out of Egypt. Did Joseph know what was coming in the last days? Pretty interesting, isn't it? You ever thought about that? Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth are going to awake, some to everlasting what? Life? And some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everlasting there being age abiding. This is the resurrection of the just and the unjust. This is the resurrection that Paul accused the Pharisees in Acts 24. He says, you yourselves know perfectly well that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust, when he was trying to divide the court there. And the Pharisees couldn't deny that because they believed both in what? Angels and resurrection. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees believed what? They believed in neither one. So Paul's whole goal in doing this was to divide the court like it had happened before. But he accused them Pharisees. He said, you yourselves know perfectly well that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, which you yourselves also admit. The just and the unjust, raised because of who they are. Raised because they have Israel's blood in their veins. Read Ezekiel 37. That's their qualification. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, here's the separator, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. See, there's a winnowing there. There's a difference. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, verse 5, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? See, there's additional questions. Daniel's watching this whole thing play out in front of his eyes. And he goes on, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he had held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be what? For a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. See, we get reference point after reference point after reference point, and all we got to do is put it all together. We just have to assemble the puzzle. You're getting some of the pieces here. And Daniel said, and I heard and I understood not. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Turn with me briefly as I conclude here. Well, we can go a little bit further, I guess. Turn with me over to, let's finish out Daniel 12. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You see the winnowing out there? I'm glad we didn't skip this because it shows the other hand to the previous few verses. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, there's another milestone, another benchmark to measure from. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, the 1,290 days. There are some excellent study appendices in the back of the Companion Bible that cover these in depth. And Welch has a ton of study helps that will help you understand these time periods. Blessed is he that waiteth, verse 12, Daniel 12, and cometh to the 1,335 days, to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of thy days. There's a promise to Daniel. Now, turn with me, if you would, second reference, Revelation chapter 12. Turn with me to Revelation 12. Another interesting discourse on the same subject here, I do believe. Like I said, Ronnie's not here to do all your studying for you and give you all the answers. My job is to make you curious. Hopefully it's working. Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 7. Now, it behooves you to read the creation story. Huh? Revelation. Did I say Galatians?
You said Daniel.
Oh, Daniel 12. I'm sorry. Yeah, turn with me to Revelation 12. Thank you. Lonnie's listening this morning. And the rest of these guys probably were too. They were just too bashful. That's what I like about Lonnie. He comes up in there and correct me whenever I go awry, when I get a little ahead of myself. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Let's start there. Remember when Daniel mentioned that Michael is going to stand up for the people? Well, look what we have going on here. And I've got a big note in at the top of the page in my scripture, on this page in the Companion Bible, in big letters at the top, look in Daniel. Because if you can't connect the two of these together, your study is not going to produce very much. Daniel and Revelation, this part of Revelation, go pretty closely together. You have to study them almost side by side. I've got, look in Daniel right at the top of the page. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. Now, you remember when the angel was coming to Daniel back in Daniel, and he said, Daniel, I'm sorry I'm late, but I was delayed 21 days because I was held up by, I think he called him the Prince of Persia. I've been fighting in the heavens. There's a little war there, a little skirmish, but I made it through because Michael stepped in and helped me. That makes my jaw drop. When an angel gets to Daniel and says, I've been in a little battle, I got held up, but I'm here now to tell you what God wanted you to know. That makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up. That there was already some battles going on. And that Satan was trying to prevent that angel from getting through to Daniel and telling him the end. Why? Because his end is mentioned in there. He don't want that to get through to the scripture. Because then when God says it, it's done. I think that's my personal opinion is that's the reason that angel was held up. Now you can agree or disagree. But once it gets put to paper and God has said it, it's done. It's yea and amen. It has to be fulfilled. So there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels. See, our battle is not against flesh and blood, folks. The battle is against these imps, these spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our battle is. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels. Battle royale in the firmament. Now, this is not in the heavens, I believe, where God is. I believe Satan has already been cast out of there. Satan's realm is literally outer space between the face of the earth and the face of the ice. In this bubble, I believe, that our creation is contained in. That's where God put Satan after the Catabalae. As he's contained in here with us. But now he doesn't have the ability to be everywhere like God does. He's not omnipresent as God is. He is just a created being. A very powerful created being, but just a created being. He cannot be everywhere at once, but now he has a wonderful communication system. And the imps are ever willing to do his bidding. Whether they are there by force or whether they are there by choice, I don't know. Probably some of both. But irregardless, they do his bidding. Even down to fighting a war with God's angels, with the angels that stood for Israel. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon and his angels prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heavens. This is a future event. Their place, I believe, at October the 16th, 2016, is in that heavens, in what we call the firmament, outer space, if you want a lack of a better term. That's where Satan's realm is, where he exists right now. The war happens, and now there's no place for them. Why? Because they're losing the war against Michael and his angels. And the great dragon what was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out of heaven where? Into the earth. Wait a minute. You mean all these imps and their commander who has been so far from us and spread out are now going to be right here on the face of the earth with us? Yes, that's what I'm telling you at this time. When this scripture comes to pass, you're not going to have Satan dispersed. You're going to have Satan in concentrated form on the earth. Think about that.
And his angels.
Oh, yeah, not just him, but all the angels that fought against God, Michael and the angels. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Wow. Something to think about, isn't it? And I heard a great, loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is what? He's cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Every day and every night, Satan accuses us before God. And only the blood of his Son saves us. Only the blood of his Son covers us.
Well, we're accused day and night now.
Yeah. That's happening as we speak. And I'm sure that our story a lot of times is not so great.
Because our past is constantly being
thrown up to the Father. The accuser, the one that accuses us all the time, constantly, which accused us before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
There's the weapon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You remember the word of the testimony back in Daniel? The angel got through and said, "Daniel, I was held up 21 days, but I made it to give you this message." And Daniel did what? He wrote down what he was allowed to write, and then God said, what? Daniel, shut it up. For the rest is not yet. Shut up the words, and you'll get the rest in the end. They overcame him, verse 11, Revelation 12, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. It says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Huh. Who dwells in the heavens? You ever thought about that? I don't know. Not even going to get into that. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because Satan has been removed from the heavens, along with his angels, placed here on the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows what? That it is sealed. Boom. And he's got just a short time. He is not happy when he arrives. Therefore, you have great tribulation, such as never has been before the earth ever was, before the nations were. Great tribulation. When the dragon saw, verse 13, that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. There you go again. Same thing as in Daniel. You see what I mean? Look in Daniel. Look in Daniel. Look in Daniel. You got to compare Revelation 12 to Daniel constantly and see what events we're talking about here. She's nourished for that time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, verse 16. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All this is to come, y'all. All this is to come. And we'll stop there. You want a cliffhanger, there you go. We'll stop there. Can't do all the... As you can see, we would be here for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks if we went over all the details of this. What I'm doing is bringing out some of the main points. Some of the things that I know happen in order so that we can talk about them and get them on our chart. And as we said in our purpose for the study, to come up with a list of coming events in Scripture. Not necessarily when they're going to take place, but the order in which they take place is what I'm looking for. To me, that's all that I think we're able to lay out at this time.
Can we have just 1 week?
Maybe 1 week? I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll study about it a little bit. So thank you for being with us this morning. I really enjoy it. I love looking into these things, but I can't stress enough, this is not our hope. It's interesting to look at, interesting to know. Everybody wants to know, you know, what's coming next. Well, I think that we may be a little above that point. At that point, yeah. I mean, you stay in there if you want to, but I think I'm going to be higher than that. So, Tony had a point there about Daniel 12:12.
No, Revelation.
Oh, Revelation 12:12, those that be in the heavens. I think that's still in the firmament, because that's where Satan was. He said they can rejoice now because he's gone. But you got to watch out if you're on the face of the earth, because he's going to be your next door neighbor now. I think that's the maybe the implication there of Revelation 12. Just a thought.